startled to hear an owl gasp. Catti Bree scolded herself, reminding herself that if she was discovered, she would be doing no good for any of those to sigh before her. Kavita began to cry.
"She is dead," Niraj wailed. "My beautiful little girl is dead, struck by the rage of Nasir."
He spun away and grabbed his wife, hugging her close.
"You will come,"
one of the shades said, and the burly tiefling took a step toward Niraj. Perched on the tent, Catti Bree had to fight the urge to revert to her human form and throw some magic, anything, at the tiefling to back him away. But before she even had begun to wage that internal battle, a trio of Desai leaders, three proud warriors, including the tribe's sultan, intercepted the tiefling.
"His child is dead, Master Tremaine," the sultan said. "Killed by the same stroke of lightning that slew your agents. What more would you ask of this man?"
"So you say," the tiefling shade replied.
The sultan stepped back and swept his hand out to the side.
"I will show you."
The group of several Desai and the Netherese contingent moved away. Catti Bree waited a few moments to watch her parents, who remained behind and stood hugging and sobbing. Or were they? Catti Bree's keen ears caught a whisper from Niraj to Kavita, telling her that she had played the ruse well. The girl didn't know what to make of this, of any of it. She set off into the night, fast catching up to the Netherese and the Sultan, who were now out of the camp and moving to a small cemetery just off to the side. The owl landed in a tree overlooking the group. Weariness seeped into Catti Bree's frame. She could feel the magic of the spell scar growing thin, warning her to fly away, but she could not. Not then, for the Desai had begun exhuming one of the graves. In short order, they pulled out a small body, wrapped in swaddling clothes, tightly bound.
"Rukia,"
the ruler explained, and he gently unwrapped the headscarf of the burial shroud, revealing a small girl, recently deceased. Again the owl gasped. Catti Bree knew this girl, older than her by a couple of years. She had died several 10 days before her battle with the Netherese.
"The grave was newly dug,"
one of the Netherese shades confirmed for the others.
"Why do you seek this one?"
the Sultan of the Desai asked.
"What purpose might a little girl—"
"Silence!"
Tremaine, the burly tiefling shade, demanded. He turned to his associates, and they moved off and began whispering secretly. But not so, since Catti Bree's owl hearing penetrated their circle. She heard the name Ulfbinder, and an agreement among them that whatever importance Rukia might have held was lost now, and the girl irrelevant. Only then did Catti Bree come to fully appreciate what her people had just done for her. They had colluded to deceive the Netherese overlords at great risk. They had come together as a tribe to protect her and to protect Niraj and Kavita. Overwhelmed by gratitude, by the love this act had shown to her and her family, Catti Bree could hardly find the strength to fly away. But she had to, she knew, for the magic of her shape-shifting Griamer was fast diminishing. As she flew out of the camp, she entertained the thought of resuming her life with her parents. The Netherese thought that Rukia was dead after all. But she knew that she would be putting all of the Desai into grave danger by doing so. If they came for Catti Bree and found her, they would destroy her and everyone she loved. Some distance away, she became a little girl once more, and she cried.
"They buried her,"
Tremaine told Paris Ulfbinder when his scouting party returned to Shade Enclave.
"Along with Alpiers de Nutes and Antares."
"They did not bury our dead. They wrapped them in cloth and put them out in the desert sun. They said they knew we would come for them."
The tiefling's anger mounted with each word.
"They should have brought them to us. Nay, they should not have dared to strike at them."
"You said Alpiers and Antares were killed by a lightning strike,"
Lord Ulfbinder said calmly.
"A burst of lightning from a storm that raged in the area."
We should punish them. We must punish them,
said Tremaine, running on as if his master had not spoken a word.
Grant me a force, and I will lay waste to the tribe of Desai. Speak the word, and I will kill them all.
Paris Ulfbinder looked at the burly warrior incredulously, and shook his head slowly and deliberately.
Get out of here, he said quietly.
The tiefling smiled broadly.
Not like that,
Lord Ulfbinder insisted.
Not to your coveted revenge. Remain in the city. Trouble yourself no more with the Desai. They are not your concern.
But, Lord,
not your concern,
Ulfbinder said with a low growl. He shook his head in disgust and waved the feeble-minded warrior away. The Desai were no minor tribe, and it would take a sizable force to attack them. And to what end? Such an act would likely inspire a larger uprising, and that in turn would force Paris before the Netherese rulers to explain himself. He could well imagine that meeting, and a shudder coursed down his spine. Simply having to mention Churl Rigo's darkness and his various theories regarding Abir Toril would bring him great humiliation. Still, the story his scouts had returned to tell seemed far too convenient to him. By coincidence, a bolt of lightning from a natural storm had slain Alpirs de Nutes and Antares just as they closed in on this Rukia child, and it had killed her as well. That was the tale the Desai were telling. Too convenient.
Tremaine,
he called to the tiefling who was just exiting the room. The warrior looked back over his shoulder, and Lord Ulfbinder instructed,
fetch the Lady Avalier at once.
The tiefling stared at him for a moment as if confused, then hustled away. Paris nodded to himself as he considered his impulsive decision. Avalier was the proper choice now. She was a skilled diviner and could speak with the dead, and she could detect magic as well as any in Shade Enclave. If, as Paris suspected, the curious little girl was still out there, Avalier would find her.
Rukia!
Kavita gasped, the word blurting out as if she had been kicked in the gut. She scrambled from her chair, nearly tumbling over, and started for the tent flap where her daughter stood staring back at her. Catty Bree eagerly leaped up into her mother's arms, accepting the crushing hug.
We thought we would never see you again.
I thought so too, the girl admitted. But I missed you terribly.